Okay, here we go.
Something.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another episode of the Something Something
Something
Cast.
Something Cast.
I'm James Hatton with
Podcast Rob.
Happy holidays, sir.
Happy holidays to you, too.
I am a big fan of Christmas, and I am happy that the season is here.
Yeah. Last year you mentioned this is like your gig.
Yep.
This is your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Everybody gets Halloween. Everybody freaks out over costumes. Blah, yep. blah, blah. That's fun, but no. I like giving presents. I like that it's cold. I like hot cocoa. I like big Christmas trees and decorating. I'm sure you can see my old monstrosity over
yep,
here.
Yep, absolutely.
So are you a Christmas guy or?
Being in retail, I am kind of a Christmas guy. Yeah. Like, it depends. Like, Christmas with the family is cool. Christmas with friends is cool. Sometimes knowing how the sausage gets made makes eating of the sausage not so fun
right.
in the long run. So,
For me, it's just, Christmas is always like, my family went to shit a bunch of years ago.
Right.
But Christmas was always the cool spot.
Sure.
It was always the spot where we all got together and, like, there'd be 3,000 people over my house and everybody brings food and pies and nonstop gifts. And,
right.
And I like candy canes, so this shit works. I love Christmas. So this is our Christmas spectacular.
There you go.
Hooray!
I will say this.
Yes.
I will say, you know, we have crazy imaging satellites flying around the Earth.
Something, something.
We have, well, us too, yeah. I mean, in general, humanity in general.
Right.
We have things like Google Earth where you can see down to street view and stuff.
Yes.
We were just able to email plans of a wrench to the International Space Station for him to 3D print it to tighten some bolt up there.
The future.
We need to be able to program snow to fall only on grassed areas.
It's genius.
I like winter. I don't mind snow. I don't like shoveling it. I don't like snow blowing it. I don't like having to go out four times in a 24-hour period just to keep up on it, or else I'm not leaving the house for a week.
I hate driving in it.
Yeah. So once we can get that knocked out where, hey, it's only going to snow where there's grass, fucking golden.
So one of the reasons we had a bit of a lag, a bit of a gap, is I was on vacation.
Yes.
Me and my lady went to Disney for part of our kind of Christmas.
And it snowed thing. Like crazy down there?
Funny you say, because they have Mickey's Christmas party, and we were there
right.
for the big Christmas celebration. The castle's decked out in lights. And
sure.
You know, it's all frozen this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But during Mickey's Christmas party, it gets our, now, again, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt.
Sure.
It's 75 degrees at 10 o'clock there.
Yep.
But it starts snowing. And we're like, the fuck is going on Main Street in Disney World? And then you look up and you're like, oh, this is coming off the ceilings. Like, this is coming off the roofs of the buildings. This is kind of cool. And then you realize it's not collecting anywhere. You kind of put your hand out so you can catch a snowflake. They're shooting small bubbles.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Little bits of foam. Like, little, like, droplets of froth.
Oh, nice.
So it lands. It disappears almost immediately because I'm sure.
sure
it's, like, water-based. But yeah, everywhere in Disney, it snowed.
That's
so,
actually cool.
During Halloween,
I was trying to be a wise ass.
No, totally.
Like, oh yeah, so it fucking snowed in Florida that you're going to complain about 75 degrees?
Nope.
This is actually pretty cool.
Pretty cool that during their big Christmas party when the castle's getting lit up, it starts to snow on Main Street. And they give you cookies and milk.
Nice.
You go in, there's a couple stores that have big candy canes in front. That means they're participating in the party. And you walk in and they give you a little cup of hot chocolate and two sugar cookies that look like Mickey Mouse and send you on your way.
That's
it was
awesome.
Cool.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's carolers walking around the town. Hollywood Studios, which is their kind of shitty Universal.
Right.
What they do is I don't know the guy's name. There's apparently a guy who decorated his whole house for his daughter. Like, I think it's that guy who does the every year has the house that sings Halloween songs.
Right.
I think it's that guy. Anyway, they have their main street, which is closer to, I want to say, like a Hollywood and Vine sort of thing.
Right.
Everything's decked out in lights. And when I say everything, I mean it is wall to wall. You don't need any street lamps. You can see by the light of this block. And it's all animated twinkle lights.
Oh, okay.
So there's like waves of lights. If I swear to God, if you were epileptic, like avoid at all costs.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
But like in the corner, there's bikes. There's a little bike rack. The bikes are lit up, and the wheels are twinkling, and so it looks like they're rolling.
Okay.
Everything, and again, once again, snow pouring on this whole city block.
Wow.
It was pretty fucking cool for someone like me who really, really likes the whole Hark the Angels thing.
Sure, sure.
Singing Christmas carols. But yeah, we got back. I got a little bit of a case of the JetBlue flu. That's gone now, but if I'm a little sinusy, I apologize. But now it is time for our Christmas episode.
My sister, brother-in-law, nephew came over for Thanksgiving, and he was regaling us with a story, my brother-in-law, about he broke down, he wanted to get like one of those big yard inflatables.
Oh, okay.
So he got like a 10-foot Santa. He puts it out in front of the house. The next day, he notices Santa's head is drooping just a little bit. Apparently, there were some holes in the feet that had slow leaks.
Okay.
He comes home from work.
It looks like Santa's got a pudding head.
Santa's lying on the ground on his side.
Okay.
Like, clearly half deflated. But he had one of those, it's like the motorized arm that waves back and forth. And that's the side that he fell on. So instead of waving, it looked like he was trying to, like lift himself up and unsuccessfully. And he's telling the story, and all I can picture is like 90-year-old Jack Palance doing one-armed push-ups during like the Oscars that one year.
It sounds like Santa's
just going, It was the most pathetic yet hilarious thing I could picture.
Santa's reaching for his life alert bracelet. I've fallen, Mrs. Claus.
I've fallen on my bracelet, and I can't. Oh, damn it.
I landed on my keys. Ow. Ow.
That's a whole other story.
But yeah, I wish, the one thing, living in an apartment, I wish we had a house, if only so I could decorate more.
Sure.
Like we have our little tree here, and I have my 8-bit wreath that twinkles with gemstones, you know, my nerd stuff. I just wish,
Well, you've got, I mean, just sitting here, you've got some windows that do face outward. You need to get like 1,000 feet of LED lights and just spiral them and pack the entire window so the people across the street don't need reading lights.
Right. What movie is that where the... Oh, it's... I'm not even going to say because it's coming. It's going to come up shortly.
Excellent segue,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
Our topic this time around?
Yes. Top 5 holiday film.
Yep. We're doing not Christmas movies, not Frosty the Snowman, not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Right.
Movies that happen to take place during Christmas.
Most of mine are, in fact, about Christmas. Most of mine are Christmas movies.
Okay.
But yeah, when going through all of the web and stuff, I was like, oh, I really want to put Frosty the Snowman, but it's not a Christmas movie. That doesn't count, asshole.
All right. One of mine is probably like a legit Christmas-ish movie. The rest of them just happen to take place
around Christmas.
During Christmas. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, but most of mine are Christmas movies.
Okay.
I mean, dancing around it, but, you know, they're Christmas films at heart. So,
well, why don't you start us off with one of yours then?
I was talking about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where he plugs in the lights.
Sure.
And you have across the street Julie Louis-Dreyfus and whoever, I think it was like Rob Lowe or somebody who's her boyfriend, and they can't see, like, they're tripping in the dark over how bright the fucking lights are. I love that movie.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
National Lampoon stuff kind of went downhill after a while.
They did. I think this is the one that no matter what, because even going back and looking at, like, the European one doesn't really hold up.
Right.
The Vegas one's stupid.
Right.
So I think aside from the original Wally World and Christmas, the rest of them are hit or miss. But those two are the ones that hold up with me.
Now, is Modern Problems National Lampoon's too?
I don't know. It probably is.
Because that was a good one.
I don't.
But then once you start getting into like the Van Wilder stuff, it was
No. I'm specifically talking just the Vacation ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the two Vacation ones I love are the original, Holiday Road, Wally World. And Christmas Vacation. I think that one's probably... Christmas is the one that I could watch at any point in time, like, nonstop.
Sure.
Still makes me laugh. And I don't even... You know, I don't watch movies on repeat anymore so much. But that one... Randy Quaid, before he went fucking crazy. It's just a good movie across. Chevy Chase, solid performance.
Before he became an angry, bitter old man.
Right.
And, but his talk show got canceled.
Might have... Let me say, it's probably before his talk show got canceled, yeah. But then he was on Community, and he was all right on there, even though he was a crazy, angry old man on that.
Sure.
The shitter's full, Clark. He's sitting there with the sewage pipe out in the middle of the street.
Right. Good stuff. I haven't seen that movie in ages.
If you rewatch it, it is still unendingly quotable.
Oh, I'm sure.
With, what's her face, Hottie McTotterson, Juliette Moore.
Right.
And they're cutting down the tree. And he goes, so what do you think, Audrey? And the mom looks over and goes, I think her face is frozen. And she just has this, like, teeth not moving, and Right. Everything's a tinge of blue.
All right.
Jelly of the Month Club, Clark. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
I went with, I think we mentioned it last year. We'll go into much more depth here, but I went with The Ref. One of my first
Fantastic.
Ones.
Fantastic.
It does take place at Christmas. I think it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
At Kevin Spacey and Juliette Moore, is it, I believe?
No. Juliette.
Lewis.
No. Nope. No, it's probably Julianne Moore.
No, it's not Julianne Moore. It's not her. And you actually mentioned it the last time we did this podcast.
Know.
And my brain is...
I'll pull it up while we're talking.
Fading me real quick.
Go ahead.
But Kevin Spacey in it... Dennis Leary, Judy Davis. It's a great cast. Like I said, takes place. It's Dennis Leary and his drunk friend mm-hmm. are criminals, and they're trying to escape through like this northern little Connecticut town in Christmas
Eve. Yeah,
a
little picturesque. Sort
yeah,
of
yeah. And they end up hiding out in Kevin Spacey's house as they're having the annual Christmas Eve family meltdown of arguments.
With the grandma that kind of owns the family.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
And the troublemaker son who, you know, the only reason he's not getting kicked out of military school is because he's blackmailing the colonel.
That's right. Yeah, that movie almost made my list, but I was like, you know, it was one of the ones that I was like, Rob's probably got this one, so
right.
I'll hit one of my other ones. Because it's a fantastic freaking film.
Such a great movie. And it was like, Dennis Leary was just getting started.
Yeah, it was probably
before Rescue Me, before any of that other stuff.
Yeah, this was like right after MTV.
Yeah.
This is the
and it really
Milk Sure for Cancer.
It really kind of put him. I want to say it put him on the map as far as his wit and timing and everything else, as much as any of his comedy stuff did.
Sure, it was probably his first almost lead role.
Probably, yeah. I'd say that.
You know, I'm sure if we look back, maybe there's something we're missing, but not.
No, but that's the first statement,
so,
though. One of. If not his first, definitely one of his first few.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Judgment Night, but...
but yeah, just a scene where they have the grandma tied up on the chair with, like, the garland and the lights and the bow as a gag in her mouth just to keep her quiet. And it wasn't even Dennis Leary that did that. It was
right.
The rest of the family
the
that
kids.
Did it. Yeah, exactly.
I just
Such a good movie.
I can hear him saying in my head, aren't you people supposed to be nice?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people?
Yeah. Well, they can't get the rest of the relatives to cancel. And the cops are doing a house-by-house search.
Looking for Dennis Leary.
So he gets roped into playing the marriage counselor that was invited by Dennis Leary and Judy Davis.
Kevin Spacey.
Judy Davis make him their marriage counselor as a cover for the rest of the family. And, yeah, he just watches this completely dysfunctional family just tearing each other apart.
With a pussy-whipped husband.
Oh,
it was excellent. And I was going to say, you know what's funny about that is you have Kevin Spacey in this one, and he's almost playing a similar character to the Kevin Spacey in American Beauty. It's almost a similar guy.
I can see that.
Like... well-to-do, you're just above well-to-do.
Yep.
And just browbeaten by the family, and it's I would have to. I want to kind of consider watching them back to back just to see. Because that's young Kevin Spacey in his career versus older, kind of established Kevin Spacey.
Sure, sure.
It's a great movie, though.
Good choice. That's actually an interesting concept now.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, American Beauty, he's not just, he's browbeaten by more than just his wife. It's, you know, it's life has browbeaten that point, too.
The only pleasure I get is going into the office bathroom and jacking off.
Right.
Thinking about a life I didn't have.
Yeah. I think the only thing you have to do from there is then, after you watch American Beauty, go into House of Cards and just see how his whole life just tops out, because now he's screwed over Congress to try to become vice president.
And then, for no apparent reason.
Spoiler.
And then for no apparent reason, watch like Lady in Red. Not Lady in Red.
No, that's Gene Wilder.
That was Gene Wilder. No, Hear No Evil, See No Evil? Does he play the villain in that?
Seven.
Not Seven. All right, we could go to Seven.
Oh, there you go.
Seven works.
Detective!
So I'm going to go with one of my full-on pure. I'll go with my, like, these are Christmas movies to start. My one cartoon, like, warm, fuzzy, motherfucking feelings, Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Okay.
And now maybe it's because I have Disney.
So you really did just go with five Christmas movies?
No, no. There's we jump around, I promise.
Okay.
I said I'm going to get the real Christmas ones out of the way. And maybe it's because I've had Disney on the brain, because we, you know, obviously got back. But Mickey's Christmas Carol, out of all of the Christmas Carol movies, it's by far, like, the warmest. I like it more than I like Muppet Christmas Carol, and I love Muppets.
Okay.
You have Scrooge McDuck playing Scrooge. You have Goofy.
Stretch there.
I know.
Yeah.
You have Goofy playing Marley. The three ghosts are, like, Big Pete, the giant that was in nothing else.
All right.
I don't remember who the last one is. But it's Mickey plays plays Cratchit, and Tiny Tim, and is just they're like, I don't even think they're these little mini the mouse baby mice are in anything else. But there's a little Tiny Tim mouse, and there's Minnie Mouse, who obviously is his wife. It's perfect. It's just a warm, fuzzy, fucking charming Christmas Carol.
Okay.
It has a couple cartoons at the beginning, so it's like two shorts and then full-length film.
This isn't a new thing, right?
No.
This is old.
This is this is like probably 20 years old.
Right.
But it used to be they'd show it on ABC or NBC like every year.
Right. Because I'm getting flashbacks of the door knocker turning into Goofy's head.
Yes.
And I'm like, I think I've seen, but no, couldn't be talking about it. Yeah, that's probably the same one.
That's
it.
Because I remember my favorite was the giant who takes up the whole room, and he's got the cornucopia, the ghost of Christmas present, I guess.
Yep.
And it's because I like the lamb with the pistachio in it. The pistachio, the jelly. Makes me giggle.
Right.
So, yeah, it's one of those ones that I kind of have that every year. Me and my little sister would sit and watch it on the TV.
Sure.
It would be just one of those Christmas memories. So it sits as one of my favorites, just out of nostalgia.
There you go. For my next one, I will stick with something that is slightly more Christmassy than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some thought to realize that it's slightly more Christmassy than the other ones.
Okay.
I went with Batman Returns.
Is that a Christmas film?
It takes place during Christmas.
I mean, I remember it's a winter film. It's very blue. I remember, like, Danny DeVito.
Yeah, and Danny DeVito had the big giant Christmas boxes and all the penguins and the big robo-rubber duck things.
I would have to re-see it. But please continue, because...
Yeah. I mean, the main reason it's on my list, I still like Michael Keaton as a Batman character.
He was a great Bruce Wayne.
If you eliminate the Christopher Nolan stuff,
mm-hmm.
I still think he's tops out of anybody else who did it before they kind of rebooted the franchise.
Don't wholly disagree.
And I mean, come on. Michelle Pfeiffer in the Catwoman outfit.
During, like, her... She was...
During hot Michelle Pfeiffer phase. Yeah.
My favorite part of that movie...
Christopher Walken in it,
you
know. My
favorite part is Danny DeVito... And Christopher Walken, Danny DeVito's got his umbrella out, and it's got like a spiral or some pattern on it, and he's spinning it in front of Christopher Walken. And Walken just goes, what are you doing with that thing?
I'm giving you a bad headache.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good movie. It started, It was probably the last Batman one that didn't completely go over the top. But yeah. It did start the trend of we've got a good superhero movie that had a good villain, and now for the sequel, we're going to get a van full of villains and just start ramping up the numbers. Mm-hmm. And they kind of didn't learn from there because everything that came after that was just...
double or triple villains.
Yeah, not good. And when you got to split the airtime between that many people, it doesn't work out.
And I think the big beast with that is, and this was the argument I heard, you know, years and years ago, was it takes Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer to equal Jack Nicholson. Like, this plus this equals this. Because you can't, you know, Jack Nicholson owned the first one.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know whether I wholly agree with it, but I think that was the logic, was, you know, Nicholson cost us this much money, we can get these two for the same amount.
I don't necessarily know that they could have done a movie with just Batman and the Penguin.
Right.
I don't think it would have held up. They probably could have gotten away with Batman and Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think it was just the Jack Nicholson thing. I think they had to look at it as if they were putting Batman villains on a tier, I think it was Penguin and Catwoman equal the Joker. Not necessarily the actors, but I don't think they felt either one of them alone could have an impact like the Joker did in the first movie.
I would agree. Funny enough, I always thought that the Penguin, then this took until I was big comic book guy to realize that I was wrong, that the Penguin was kind of Batman's number two villain.
Right.
And that's, I realize that's very specifically because of the old Adam West series.
Sure.
Because Burgess, you know, it was not Frank Gorshin, he was Riddler. Because it was
Cesar Romero,
thank you. And Burgess Meredith.
Yep.
And those were the two villains, almost always. Unless, right. You know, you had your Vincent Price and you had your King Tut's and, you know, your weirdo one episodes. But for the most part, it was one of those three guys of Cesar Romero, Burgess Meredith, Frank Gorshin.
Right, right.
Those are your three Batman villains.
And everybody else.
Oh, that's true, Earthkit. So why couldn't Penguin hold up a movie? I don't know. But then you kind of go, he's a dude with flipper. He's like a thalidomide baby who,
I think it's...
controls penguins? I don't know.
If you try to picture that movie without the Catwoman part in it, and just picture Michael Keaton's Batman going against Danny DeVito's Penguin for an entire hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
I think people just fall asleep or walk out. I agree that you needed something else in there. But it did start an unfortunate trend, I think, in superhero movies where they did... that became the pattern. A sequel, we need to have twice as many villains, you know, to go against the hero now because he's been established. We've put him over in the first movie.
Right.
So I would, however, be able to watch an hour and a half of Michelle Pfeiffer in the Catwoman outfit.
That's true.
Just
doing
dishes, standing there.
Her doing dishes, or are you watching her while you're doing dishes?
Either.
Okay.
I mean, fair enough. Doesn't matter to me.
Have you watched any, just a quick aside, have you watched any Gotham?
I have not.
I watched the first episode. The dude who plays Penguin is stealing the show. Like, that's out of nowhere. The guy, you kind of look and go, that guy's Penguin. I wonder if he feels bad because he's the guy we could look at and go, he's the Penguin. Because he's got a hook nose.
Yeah, I've seen the images of him and stuff. Yeah,
oily hair. Like, he looks like a dude who would be referred to as the Penguin.
Yeah, he's either going to grow up to be the Penguin or he's going to grow up to want the Dark Arts job every year and not get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those two things are going to happen.
They're going to shave off his nose. Going to kill a couple of Potter parents.
I mean, oddly enough, we talked about this too. You know, technically, every Harry Potter movie is kind of a Christmas movie because it kind of does take place.
Well,
we had this discussion as to why we couldn't put it on the list, though. Because it takes an entire year. Of course, there's a Christmas every year.
There's a Christmas every year.
Just tying the two together.
The year that there is no Christmas, that movie did not appear on my list.
I didn't even know that was a movie.
The year with no Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, they every year has a Christmas thing, and they always make sure in the Potter movies to like address the Christmas thing.
Sure. Well, because shit goes down because everybody else has gone home except for those three.
Somebody did a list of what the names of the Harry Potter movies were from the perspective of other characters.
The Draco Malfoy one was hysterical.
But there's one that is, what was it? It was like every other student at Hogwarts during year, I guess it's 8 of the Harry Potter series,
because he's
out of school by 7.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was the year that nothing bad happens and nobody dies.
Yeah. Well, there's every now and then on my Facebook feed, like, you'll get Instagram pictures or Reddit conversations that mm-hmm. people post. And it was like, wow, I wonder what's going on at Hogwarts now. And the one guy replied, they're probably fucking studying. Harry's graduated. Everything's fucking done now. All the crazy shit's over.
Everything's peachy. We can move on about our lives. So, this is my last outright Christmas movie.
Okay.
And then the other two in my honorable mention are completely off the wall away from actual Christmas. One of... I showed it to my wife last year, 2 years ago, and she goes, I did not expect this movie to be as funny and interesting and dark as it is. Scrooged.
Oh, such a great movie, though.
Oh, phenomenal. She just wasn't expecting it, and then kind of it hit her by surprise how dark and wonderful it is. Bill Murray playing a TV executive, Scrooge. Great cast, like great kind of weird B-list TV actor cast. You have Bobcat Goldthwait. You have, what's his face? Hot. Bitch in a Hat. What's the... Buster Poindexter.
Oh, jeez. I'm like, okay.
You have the blonde chick, Laka's wife from Taxi, whose name I never remember, so I'm not even going to try and bother with that one. But Bill Murray, probably after Ghostbusters 1, is in his, like, comedy. He's A-list comedy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the bit. And he just plays a scumbag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
is this after Groundhog Day?
I want to say Scrooge is before Groundhog Day.
Before?
It's definitely after Ghostbusters.
Oh, no, that I know.
Let's go to the videotape and find out.
The reason I ask is because he was also, like, in his comedic powerhouse prime in Groundhog Day.
I'm guessing they're within 3 years of
each other. But that's what I feel. I think one allowed the other to happen. Not necessarily movie story-wise, but because he knocked it out of the park in one, it was almost like a no-brainer to have him in the other one. You know what I mean? He was still riding the high from the first one to the second one.
I'm going to tell you, Scrooged is 88.
Right.
Groundhog Day was 93. Like, a five-year difference.
Okay.
But not for nothing, in the meantime there, from 88 to 93, it was Scrooge, Ghostbusters 2, Quick Change, What About Bob, Groundhog Day.
So
Bill Murray owned comedy
Hollywood. Yeah, exactly. That's his Kobe Beef era of fucking movies right there.
Which is funny, because that's probably, if it relates to my favorite moment in that movie, and it was only just this last time that I saw it that I remember it, when he's flashing back, he's sitting watching television, his father walks in the door, throws a brown paper wrap package on his lap.
Right.
Says, Merry Christmas, eat up, and Bill Murray's crying. Buster Poindexter looking goes, what's wrong, Frank? Do you know how much a hock of beef like that would go on the market today? It's just a good gift. And he's obviously crying because the Christmas scene is horrible, but he's just trying to cover it up by saying how much money this meat is worth. But it's a great movie.
No, absolutely. I remember, and again, this came into kind of our conversation last year, where it's Christmas is one of those hallowed ground kind of holidays where it's tough to break in with something new.
And dark. Go ahead. Finish up.
I mean, to come out with a new Christmas song, to come out with a new Christmas movie that mm-hmm. kind of becomes a standard that people watch every year, it's not easy to do because so much about Christmas, for everybody, seems to be steeped in tradition, whether it's family tradition, whether it's cultural tradition. So to have this movie, I mean, sure, it's Scrooge.
Right.
It's that story. But to have it come out the way it did with the people it did and go over as well, I remember seeing this movie in the theaters and just coming out of it like my eyes had been opened to a different part of reality that I just hadn't thought of before. It was that good. I went in thinking it was going to be a funny Bill Murray Christmas movie, and mm-hmm. I came out going, holy fuck, this is genius.
When he shows the trailer for his live Christmas film that he's doing with the explosions, death, Destruction.
Such awesomeness.
I don't think there's many movies since Scrooge, and I'm sure I could list off a handful of Christmas movies that have come and gone since then that have kind of been standards for a minute.
Right.
But nothing really, not many movies in the last 10 years have kind of popped up, and these are now movies that
right.
we relate to Christmas.
Yep.
Maybe Elf.
Yeah.
Maybe the Santa Claus. Mm. Eh. But, like, I can list off another dozen that aren't.
Right.
You know, Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
Like, and these are movies, and they're all on the top of my head because of looking just at the list
sure,
of Christmas
sure.
movies to try and jog my brain.
One of our listeners did put Bad Santa. I haven't seen it yet. You know, shame on me. It's on Netflix. I should watch it.
Some people love it. It's a dividing movie.
Right, right.
There is one spot that made me, when I saw it, cackle.
Okay.
Where Lauren Graham, she plays the hot chick,
mm-hmm.
the mom from Gilmore Girls, for those who know me. There's a spot where she has what's-his-face in the car, Billy Bob Thornton.
Right.
And the car's, like, rocking.
Right, right.
And they go inside the car, and she's clearly riding him
right.
in the front seat, and she's just going, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa. Had me in hysterics.
See, I'll watch it just for that scene.
And it's worth it for that scene.
Yeah, because she's all right.
Yeah, she's okay.
Yeah.
Would be pretty okay in
Sucker Punch. Absolutely. Which, if we film, will have to take place during...
Our Christmas Sucker Christmas. Punch?
Yeah, exactly.
A very Sucker Punch Christmas.
Exactly. It reminds me of that. It's a commercial. God, I don't even remember what it's for. I think it's like some credit card commercial. But the clerk is obviously... Like, the clerk feels like he's paying Faust's debt. He's behind this cabinet. He's behind the counter. The guy pays for it on the register, tells him how much it is, and the customer goes, oh, my, that's rather a lot, isn't it? And the clerk goes, comes with a free gift. And then just kind of, like, looks dejected. And on the counter is a little, almost like pack of cigarette-sized box wrapped up, says free gift. The customer goes, oh, picks it up and grabs it, and it's attached to a string. And as he pulls the string, a little trap door opens in front, big boxing glove, and an extendo arm comes out, punches the guy in the dick. And the clerk is just like, damn it, I had to do that again. It's just, I don't know why, but it just kind of, Christmas Sucker Punch, that's what our movie is. It's a punch to the balls. A punch to the holiday balls.
That's the tagline.
Exactly. A punch to the chestnuts.
Coming this holiday season.
Oh, wow.
So Scrooged.
Yeah, there you go.
You better watch out. You better not cry.
All right, I'm going with this one next. It is a stretch to say that it's a Christmas movie, except for the fact that A, it takes place during Christmas, and B, everybody once in their life should go to one of these kind of Christmas parties.
One crazy summer.
Eyes Wide Shut. takes place during Christmas.
Okay.
But, yeah, everybody once in their life should go to a Christmas party like that.
I don't disagree with you. I've been to my share of parties that got close.
Yeah.
Not Christmas parties, just parties.
Yeah, parties in general.
Parties in general. Does that happen during Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been so long since I saw that movie. And
I'm pretty sure it's the Christmas party right at the beginning of the movie where the chick overdoses on coke and they call him because he happens to be a doctor and they bring him in
and then
to look at her. And that kind of starts the whole rabbit hole downward spiral of the next couple days of his life.
If you told me Eyes Wide Shut, you could tell me a lot of things about Eyes Wide Shut, because as far as Eyes Wide Shut in my brain is, it's the movie starts, I see Nicole Kidman's boobs, there's a fuck party, credits roll. That's all I remember from it. So if you could just as easily have told me that was an Arbor Day film, and
sure.
I'd be like, oh, fine.
4th of July. You didn't see the fireworks going on?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, exactly.
Two very lovely redheaded ones.
No, I bring this movie up, too, because I'm a big fan of Bill Burr as a comedian.
Yo, love
and he
him.
Has a bunch of specials on Netflix. And the one routine he talks about is how he hates that everybody else now is trying to make him do more work. Like, he goes to the grocery store, he has to take the stuff off the shelf, put it in the bag, walk up, check it himself, pay for it himself, put it in a bag himself, and then leave.
I've made the same sort of argument.
He goes to a like a fast food place, you know, tells him I want a chicken sandwich with mayo and a Coke. The guy's like, the mayo's over there. Well, why don't you put fucking mayo on my fucking sandwich? You don't just give it to me to go. Okay, well, the lids for the cup are over there. Where is he? Just grab the guy by the throat. Where's the guy making me do all this stuff? I just want to choke my way up the corporate ladder of this chain till I get to that Eyes Wide Shut party where everybody's getting blown because they're making so much money because I'm putting a lid on my own fucking soda.
There was a minute when you started in the McDonald's part where I'm like, how is this going to get back to Eyes Wide Shut?
But, and there's no, like, segue in his routine at all. He's just choking his way up the corporate ladder till he gets to that Eyes Wide Shut party and the place goes nuts. And everybody's like, yeah, no, I can totally see that.
Eyes Wide Shut's one of the movies that I've, like, had on my list of want to go back and rewatch. Because when it first came out, I don't know, I was probably, like, 17 or so. Right. And I know now more about movies and more about Kubrick and more, sure. Like, I'm sure I can appreciate that film in much different ways other than just redhead boobs.
Right.
But also redhead boobs. But I can say that as a grown-up instead of... I've wanted to go back and see it, so maybe this will be the Christmas movie this year.
It's... I gotta tell you, if not for nothing, it's also, like, if you're into secret society Illuminati
shit
at all... It's got a fair share of it when you're watching it. Like, you know, for all those people that say the Illuminati doesn't exist, this is the perfect example of why it probably does, and we just don't fucking know about it. Because when you see that scene, you're just like, okay, this is fucked. Like, if you imagine yourself in his shoes when he gets caught by the dude in the red robes, and they're like, take your mask off. And what the fuck are you going to do? You're surrounded by 800 other guys who you have no idea who they are. They're all wearing, like, Amadeus death masks and black cloaks and everything. And you've just got caught with your hand in the finger quote cookie jar. where do you go from here? You know, it's just, oh, shit.
I have to rewatch. Like, it's now it must happen. Because I love all of that shit. I love secret societies. I love weird, creepy orgies.
And you love Christmas.
I love Christmas.
See?
And Nicole Kidman's boobs.
Perfect.
Greatest things
ever. Perfect. The trifecta.
It really is. Yeah. Sorry. Still on Nicole Kidman. I went.
Yes.
I will now go with... this is... It relates to Christmas.
Okay.
It's a movie I've probably seen more times than I should have.
Okay.
Because when you hear it, you're going to be like, really?
I really get the sense, just from your lead-in, that where you're headed and where my last ones are headed, it's almost like we're really in the point of our lists where we're going to see how far we can go to justify that this movie should be on this list.
This one justifies it, if only because its main character is Santa.
Oh, okay.
But the rest of it... Santa Conquers the Martians.
Not where I thought you were going, but okay.
What movie were you thinking?
I have no idea. I was just waiting. I'm like, this is going to be awesome.
It's a 1960s bad sci-fi film.
Ooh.
It's been riff-tracked. It's been MST3K'd. What's funny is that even aside from me loving Mystery Science Theater and all those things,
right?
I've seen it multiple times without the riffing and making fun of.
Sure.
And I own the novel they wrote about... I love this movie so much.
Okay.
Basically, there's two little kids... I'm sorry, the Martian children are kind of boring and sad. And so the Martians look down on Earth and they see all the kids are bright and happy. Why? Because they're all looking forward to when Santa Claus shows up and gives them presents. So the Martians kidnap Santa Claus so they can make... the Martian children happy.
Sure.
Santa makes these huge technological advances of these machines that make the toys for the kids, and then these two little Earth kids come up, and they help Santa get away, and then Santa, of course, defeats the Martians. It's a stupid movie. It is dumb. It's, I think, the only famous person of note. I think there's a Gabor in it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think Pia Gabor? I don't know. Not Zsa Zsa, the other one.
Ava?
It might be.
Yeah. Pia Zadora, but it was Zsa Zsa Gabor and Ava Gabor.
Yeah, I think Pia Zadora. But it's Ava Gabor. It's a bad film, but it's so much fun.
And all right, I'm not going to knock it.
To my favorite Mystery Science Theater quote from it. Because I also, obviously,
sure,
of those. So Santa's machine is not working up to snuff because they kind of cut corners to make Santa's toy-making machine. The toys are now starting to come out, like, wrong. Very wrong. Like, the train's got doll arms, and it's a Misfit Toyland.
Sure. But it's like Human Centipede Misfit Toyland.
Exactly. Oh, not the shitty chicken.
Exactly.
Code of fish. The doll comes out, and it's got, like, arms for legs and legs for arms, and I think it's Joel who's doing the riffing, and he just goes, "That's fine, we'll just sell it to dyslexic kids." Lord me.
Nice.
But yeah.
Good stuff.
And I, when Virgin Megastore closed down, we were in there right when they were closing. Everything right. was five per, you know.
Oh, sure.
Like $5. And I saw on the shelf they have the novelization of the movie Santa Conquers the Martians. Came with the DVD
oh, there
of
you
the
go.
Film. I was like, oh, when I'm buying this. My girlfriend at the time was like, why?
Because oh, it's $5.
It's $5. Why wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly. Come
You're
on.
You're the dumb one for not even considering
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So, Santa Conquers the Martians. It's barely a Christmas film.
Wow. All right. Man, how do I top that one?
It's probably pretty easy.
Yeah, I know. All right. I'm going to go with The Last Boy Scout.
That's, excuse me, awesome choice.
Takes place during Christmas, during the Christmas holiday season.
I fucking love that movie. I think every time one of us says this movie, we both, one, the other one goes, I fucking love that movie.
When I first watched it, I didn't see it in the theaters. I watched it on videotape, I think, was sure. the first time I saw it. And I had heard some stuff about it. It was like, okay, Bruce Willis doing yet another kind of action-ish movie. He'd already done the Die Hard thing. He'd already done, the Hudson
Hawk
thing.
Cop who doesn't play by the rules.
I said, okay, let me watch it. It's got one of the Wayans brothers in it, too. And sometimes they're hit or miss in their movies. But I said, let me watch it. Not only was it a good movie, but there is a legit, honest-to-God, according to Hoyle, Hudson Hawk shout-out in The Last Boy Scout.
God.
I shit you not.
It's more so that in the same way that with me, everything must some way, somehow tie back to fucking Lost and
right.
Nelson Cues. For you, in every film, there's
no,
two degrees to Hudson.
No, this is a line from Bruce Willis,
oh,
like straight out legit. They go in and they try to shake down this guy in this like upper crusty 5-star restaurant for information. Bruce
sure.
Willis and Damon Wayans, and as they're leaving, they grab one of the menus, like trying to like just in shock of how pretentious the people who eat in this place are and the restaurant. I mean, look at this menu: reindeer goat cheese pizza. That is a direct line from Hudson Hawk because he's talking about when he goes back to the Five Tone Bar with Tommy mm-hmm. Five Tone. How the bar has changed, and now it's all for yuppies, and they've got, what happened to the cappuccino? Where's Captain Bob's steering wheel? Why are we serving reindeer goat cheese pizza? So it was like a direct toss to Hudson Hawk
right.
from the man himself. And I saw that line when I first watched that movie, and I went, four people in the whole world have gotten this. I'm one of them, and I know one of the other three. So... it was just, yeah. But it was a good movie, too.
It is one of my favorite, like, that same era. Yeah, there's 1,000 cop movies.
Yeah.
Cops who don't play by the rules and blah, blah, blah.
And it had a great villain death sequence at the end, too, because it was done in silhouette. They were able to get rid of it. The fucking helicopter. Oh.
If I survive this, I'm going to dance a fucking jig.
Such a good movie, though.
I circumvented it. It's one of those movies that has, like, things that have peppered my language.
Oh, yeah.
It's very specifically, anytime you break something, I circumvented it.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, definitely check it out.
My last movie is, it's definitely a Christmas film, but it's not, that's not what makes it a great film. It just so happens that it's all of the shenanigans are because... are funnier because it's Christmas.
Okay.
Gremlins.
One of the ones that was on... like, I made a list of, like, 12 of them, and then I picked 5, and there was stuff that I knew, if wasn't on your list, we were going to talk about anyway, this definitely being one of them.
Yeah, this is... and there's... I have a couple of honorable mentions we
sure,
can kind
sure.
of dance after. Gremlins is It's been mentioned before. It's one of my favorite little horror, not horror movies. Sure. Steven Spielberg. Too scary to be a kid's movie, too cute to be a horror movie.
Right, right.
But yeah, all of the... part of the thing that makes it fun is that it does happen during Christmas.
Sure.
You get Phoebe Cates' Christmas... I know. Her dad died in the...
Stuck in the chimney.
The chimney. You get to have the gremlins in, like, Santa hats running around.
Yep.
Every part of that. But, I mean, it's not a Christmas film in any other reason than it's snowing on the ground and there's Christmas trees. But one of the gremlins is hiding in a Christmas tree.
Well, no, but it's more than that, though, because the father buys Gizmo as a Christmas gift.
That's true. I guess
that kind
does,
of all starts the whole ball rolling.
Hoyt Axel, if you will. I think that's... Axton. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Hoyt Axton.
You're right. He is a Christmas...
Yeah, Gizmo because the whole movie poster is the hands holding the Christmas box and the Christmas gift and the box lid to the side and it's Spike coming up out of the Christmas box. So yeah, I mean that's a Christmas movie from the word go because he was bought as a gift.
Yeah, you want to know what? I kind of separate it in my brain.
Sure.
If only because like there's very little about the whole thing that's Christmas other than the setting. You know?
Oh yeah, once the MacGuffin starts. It moves away from Christmas, and it's, oh my god, these fucking things. We got awesome. Them wet and fed them after midnight. Shit.
Fuck.
Exactly.
But, so yeah, I think we've addressed that movie enough that I don't have to go too deep into it.
Right, right.
It's across the board. Great. Great movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's something, to this day, I still, anytime I see something Gizmo-related or Spike-related... There's been talk of them remaking it.
Shut your whore mouth.
No.
I know, I've heard it too, and it's, you can't. It's one of those things, leave it the fuck alone. Because when they remake it, you know they're going to try to do one of two things. They're either going to try to make it edgier, or they're going to try to make it more gritty slash realistic. And either one of those two things changes the way Gizmo looks, or the way they look after they eat after midnight. And the minute you do that... It's
not the same.
It's
thing.
Only an homage in name only, and everything else gets thrown out the fucking window.
What kills me about the idea of them doing a remake is that Gremlins is beautiful
mm-hmm.
for its special effects.
Sure,
and its actual
yep.
effects. Those are puppets. That's good old fashioned movie trickery.
Yeah, it's all animatronics and puppets and.
Because
wires and shit,
they go all CGI with these little fuckers running around everywhere and doing whatever they can because they have the ability to do it.
Yeah.
It loses all of its charm.
Well, then it becomes episode 3 and one of them grabs a lightsaber and...
Exactly. And it looks like Excalibur somehow.
Yeah, it's... No. No, I'm with you on that. They need to leave that the fuck alone.
It's 100%. Leave it alone. Gremlins.
All right, the last one I went with... We're getting too old for this shit. Lethal Weapon.
It is a Christmas film.
It is a Christmas film.
It happens during Christmas.
And it's a great fucking movie. It, you know, in hindsight, you look at Mel Gibson playing Martin Riggs, and you're going, he wasn't really acting back then, was he? Like, especially if you look at him now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he had the Jesus hair back then. He had the
big
the crazy going on with him. But it's a great movie. I think the first one and the fourth one, in my opinions, are the best of that franchise had to offer. The fourth one was the one with Jet Li.
There you go. Thank you.
Where he was, like, so much faster than either Riggs or Murtaugh and, like, just showing their weaknesses. But the first one was just fantastic. Such a good... It was that good love-hate-hate-hate buddy cop movie relationship yeah. kind of thing.
I don't want to say it's the first one, but it's probably the best one.
One of the best ones, yeah. But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that Murtaugh didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't want this guy as his partner. But Riggs wouldn't have anybody else as his partner. It was like, no, you're fucking stuck with me. Like, that's it. And how... I mean, he's almost... This is not to belittle dog owners, but Riggs is almost like a watchdog, like a pet pit bull, you know, where
sure.
sure he can be violent at times, or if he's touched the wrong way, he goes off the deep end. But Jesus Christ, he's going to fucking protect that house with every last fucking dying breath he has. You know, nothing could happen to Murtaugh that Riggs wasn't just going to be like, okay, 30 people got to die now because of it. Like, right. And he had no problem just flipping that switch and going to do it.
I was never a big Lethal Weapon guy until later. It was one of those, I finally caught up to, like, action movies. Like, I'm going to watch all of them.
Right,
it took me forever to say, I had weird, like, I love all the Rocky films. Never saw any of the Rambo films. Like,
yeah, no, I'm with
gaps.
You.
Lethal Weapon was one of them where I like didn't see any of them, and then I watched all of them in a row.
Right, right.
And you're right. The first one, easily the best one. And
then sure.
They're hit or miss. Like they're Star Trek. They're maybe they work, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
You know, is Joe Pesci's funny for a minute, and then, oh, he's really annoying. Right. He's funny for that minute, and then he's annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing with Chris Rock.
Yeah. Like, so I don't remember the Christmas aspect of Lethal Weapon. But I know that there is one. I just can't. All I remember is
snow. Well, it took place in the. I mean, it took place over like the weeks leading up to Christmas. Because okay. I think when Riggs gets the call that Murtaugh's family had gotten tied up and the house was on fire,
mm-hmm.
like they were tied up in the Christmas trees in the living room, all the gifts are under and stuff. They were tied up with
I
that shit.
I think it's just background shit.
Where they? Well, that's the shit. That yeah, a lot of that movie. The focus wasn't Christmas. It's just that's when it took place. When they busted those two guys towards the beginning, they busted them selling all those drugs, I think it was, in, like, the fucking Christmas tree parking lot. It was just a parking lot where they were selling Christmas trees for, like, 30 mm-hmm. bucks a piece. And Murtaugh's leading them over, and they're looking at this one Christmas tree while they're talking, and a gun comes out of the Christmas tree, and it's Riggs sitting there with the fucking gun, and they catch the guys. But it does take place during Christmas, and it is a great movie, so it will be on the list.
I'll say that people are probably, like, right now going, they did all five of their films, both of them. No Die Hard.
It was one of those ones where I thought, you like, I said, you know what, you'll do it. You probably said, well, he'll do it. Die Hard and Die Hard 2 both take place during Christmas.
And I said the same thing, though. Like, ah, Rob will probably got that. Rob, yep. Rob's probably got Die Hard. Because it's a great, it's such a great fucking movie. And
sure.
I think in the last, I want to say 5 years, maybe a little longer, people started to acknowledge that it's a very Christmas film.
Like, sure.
It's a Christmas film through and through.
Yep.
It's not that it's not on our lists because it's not a great Christmas film. It's just not on our list right now.
Right.
If you were to ask this list us again next time, it very well might be.
Yeah. Some other ones that did end up on my list. I have an honorable mention.
Go for
and
it.
Since you did not mention one in your list, I have an honorable mention that I'm giving to you as a Christmas gift.
Okay.
And I'm almost a little disappointed that you didn't mention it.
I'm waiting. You kind of teased me with this before the show. I'm very intrigued to hear what...
Rocky IV.
Motherfucker. You're right.
The fight that Drago has with Rocky is on Christmas Day.
I can get along.
Exactly. And you just said you're a big fan of all the Rocky movies.
Rocky fan.
Never saw the Rambo movies. So I'm a little disappointed. On His Majesty's Secret Service also takes place during the Christmas holidays.
Okay.
And since we did our Lazenby Bond episode already, I had to throw that on there as an honorable mention. Long Kiss Goodnight takes place during Christmas. Gina Davis, I got a soft spot for Gina Davis. You can say what you want about what was the fucking the Treasure Island movie that she did to the pirates.
Oh,
the pirate one.
Yeah, I don't remember the name.
Can't remember the name of it.
Which one it was?
That movie like sunk a distribution company. Like that movie
it was that much money.
Oh yeah, it was that bad. But I still love it because I think she's awesome.
Do you know the only movie I find her like reasonably attractive in is Earth Girls Are Easy?
That's a good movie though.
It's a fun, stupid movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, there's a scene in that movie. I think there's a dance sequence in the beauty parlor.
Right.
And she looks smoking in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, I don't find her very attractive. There's something.
She looked good in The Fly.
She did. Through part of it.
Well, she didn't turn into the fly, so that was a bonus.
Oh, I am mixing her up with Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that's... that's just wrong, sir. Edward Scissorhands also takes place during Christmas.
That was almost on my list. That's on my honorable mention list. And it's a weird one because I have my love-hate with Tim Burton.
Right.
But, like, where the... In my love-hate of Tim Burton, Edward Scissorhands is like the love of Tim Burton.
Okay.
It's the one Tim Burton
I have not seen it love. Because it's Tim Burton. Never my thing.
So most of my honorable mentions are horror movies, okay. I've realized, with maybe the exception of one. Black Christmas, which is the kind of first slasher movie from the mid-70s. What was it, 74? It's in a sorority house where there's the phone calls coming from inside the house type of situation.
Right.
It's not... I don't want to say it's a bad film.
Right.
It's just not a very... It's dated.
Sure.
It's 1974, before there was a huge craze in horror films. And the kind of horror movie purist types would argue that without Black Christmas, you might not have Friday the 13th. You might not have a lot of the stuff we have now. It was sort of the launching block for a serial killer in a house picking off people left and right.
Okay.
Black Christmas, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Right, right.
Another just fun, over-the-top horror slasher flick.
Kibbe of
yep.
Married to Theme Song Chris.
Yes.
It's funny. I posted on our Facebook page looking for our listeners' favorite Christmas movies that were not Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because she had responded with, I didn't even realize there was such a thing. But now that I've searched on the internet, I'm going to offer these. And she gave us Ginger Dead Man.
Okay.
Of which there's like two or three sequels.
I'm just wondering whether she's about to say my last honorable mention. Go for it.
No, those were...
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that was the one she offered.
I'm going to have to go
the Ginger Dead Man.
Because my last honorable mention in the horror category is Jack Frost.
All right.
Attack of the... not the Batman one.
Not the Michael Keaton one,
Not the Michael Keaton one. The other one. Attack of the Killer Mutant Snowman.
Right.
Where a serial killer is on his way to death row. It hits a toxic waste van. He is melted into the snow, so now there is an anthropomorphized killer snowman running around the town killing people. Fucking genius.
I do not think that word means what you think it means. I'll
tell you why it's genius. The one sequence that if... When you're trying to explain why this movie is actually much better than you think, you tell them about this one scene. And that's where there's the classic horror movie to-do of the girl going and taking a shower.
Right.
Or a bath. She goes, she's stripping down, it's very sultry. The snowman is sliding through her hallway, the steam coming up from underneath the bathroom door. He starts to melt.
Sure.
So you see the two pieces of coal and the carrot sliding underneath the bathroom door,
right,
into the bathtub where she's sitting there relaxing with her little glass of wine,
right.
And then she kind of perks up, oh, as clearly the carrot is doing whatever the carrot's going to do.
Sure.
She goes through the throes of this, and you hear the snowman somehow making noise, even though it's water at this point.
She's right.
As he fucks her with a carrot. Art.
Okay. That's going to come right after the 90210 guy cutting a fucking shark in half as it flies through the air.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ian Ziering.
Yeah.
Chainsaw.
Not feeling it.
Sometimes I don't think you understand some of the brilliance that is.
Sometimes I think I understand a little too much.
Going through this list, I actually had a couple of those moments and where I found movies that I forgot existed.
Sure.
There was a movie called, what is it, All I Want for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Which was this kind of warm, fluffy, Hallmarky sort of charming Christmas movie. Very,
right.
Very Christmassy. Not good enough to make my list, but it was this kind of cutesy movie that I remember watching many times. It was on that like HBO loop every
sure.
year. Go back and looked it up. I threw it. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it on. It's Ethan Embry, Thora Birch, Kevin Nealon, Lauren Bacall. It's got like this huge pedigree for just kind of a dippy Christmas movie.
Right, right.
But like really young. Like if you want to see Thora Birch as like an 8-year-old.
Right, right.
There you go. But and Ethan Embry when his voice is still cracking.
Right.
So found a lot of stuff like that. Just little Christmas movies that nobody fucking remembers.
Sure.
So,
So that's our list.
That's it. That was easy.
Yeah, yeah, nothing else.
Knock that shit out.
Exactly.
Do we have another show before the end of the year? Other than this
no,
one?
this is our only one. We don't, like last year. We did one in December.
Yeah,
taking the rest of the time off, do the holidays, get through New Year's Eve, get through the hangover, and then we come back in January with a new show,
bright, shiny, and new.
While we were wrapping things up, I did pull up Harry Potter books according to Draco Malfoy.
Oh, very good.
Draco Malfoy and the Rejected Handshake. Draco Malfoy and the Better Than Potter's Broomstick. Draco Malfoy and Hagrid's Bloody Chicken.
Very good.
Draco Malfoy and the Year His Father Would Hear About. Draco Malfoy and the Inquisitorial Squad. Draco Malfoy and the Vanishing Cabinet. And Draco Malfoy and the Year He Realized He Had Been a Douchebag.
Very good. I was wondering what the last year would be.
Yeah.
That's good. So I think I'm going to take this moment, since this is our last show of the year, to say a couple words to you, Mr. Podcast Rob, and to our listening audience as a thank you. This is now our we're deep into our second year of doing this.
We are.
And
this is episode, what, 36?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And I am enjoying the shit out of spending time with you every couple weeks, sitting around, bullshitting, having a good time. And I hope that the people out there who are listening to us, the dozens and dozens
and dozens
of people that are listening, are enjoying the show. But please let us know in the future if there's topics we haven't covered. I know sometimes we kind of redundant on movies that we really love.
Sure.
But like if there's stuff that we haven't thought of, please let us know. We're not going to run out of fun, stupid lists to make and entertaining
sure.
things to talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
But I know we're missing, like, somebody's going to say, do your top favorite colors, and we'll be like, holy shit, that's the best idea ever. There's stuff we're missing.
No, absolutely.
But thank you guys for listening and commenting and being part of the community. I think we're building, like, a small little group of people that kind of are getting to know each other, and I think it can only get bigger and better from here.
I will say this, to kind of jump onto the coattails of that whole statement.
Please.
When we first started this whole thing, I knew that I had a circle of friends that would be all about the stuff that we're doing mm-hmm. and totally into it. And you obviously felt the same way, that there was an audience out there, even yeah. if it was people that I know or people that you know, that would totally sit down and listen to an hour, hour and a half of us talk about the shit that we talk about.
Yeah.
And I think from those humble beginnings, we have since gotten bigger than we thought we would have. There's obviously more people out there like us than we either give them credit for or that have actually signed up on the government registry like they're supposed to. That being said, if you are listening to this show and you, our listener, have friends that you know would be the same kind of circles of friends that would listen to this, introduce them to it.
Please.
Share it, post it. You know, love it, lick it, put it on your bumper sticker,
sing it down,
sing it from the hilltops, flip it over, rub it down.
Yeah, because dead serious, the best gift you could give us is sharing us with more people. I would agree.
Yeah.
Because I think that we have the cores that have been there since minute one,
mm-hmm.
and kind of people who traveled with me for my various forms of entertainment, but there's definitely a lot of room out there for more people who like to listen to two dudes just bullshit about fun shit.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So,
but much like Hatton said, we thank you all for listening. We thank you for chiming in when asked and when not asked, giving us your opinions, your
especially
ideas.
Especially when not asked.
Yeah, exactly. And for the love of God, thank you for not just being yes people. If we suck, call us on it.
Oh my God.
Because we won't know that something didn't go over well unless you guys are like, really? Fucking talking about Hudson Hawk again. Can maybe we just give it a rest for one episode? That and Lost, can we put it in a little box, put it in a closet somewhere, and not talk about it for a couple weeks?
So without further ado, I would like to wish you all a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Merry whatever you do, and a Happy New Year.
Chris Mahana Kwanzaa.
Yeah, oh, that's good. I am James Hatton.
I am Podcast Rob.
And we will see you in 2015.
15.
of all humanity. No more time for last minute shopping. It's time to face your final day.